Okay, good morning, Brishas Rabbi Krohn. Today is my father's Yartzei, so our learning should be Eagle and Nishmas Avi Mori David Ben Meir. So we are a few lines before the Mishnah on Ayin Hay Amid Aleph. We are starting from where it says, "My Ukashar Dvarim Kain Nidarim Dikatani." And so we had been talking about essentially the concept of Yibam. And when it comes to Yibam, when a woman is connected to her, is the Yavama with her brother-in-law, right? What kind of relationship does that cause? And does that cause one where the brother-in-law has the ability to nullify her vows, similar to someone who is betrothed to, has gone through Erusin and is betrothed to a woman? And we had essentially learned that, according to Rabbi Akiva, that there's differences, and therefore the fact that someone is connected with the Zika of a Yavama is not on the same level as someone who is connected with Erusin and certainly not with Nisuin. So we went back to a Baraisa that we learned that says, Mayuk Shad Dvarim Kain Nidarim Katani. What does that mean? Where he says, in all other things, just like Nidarim, what are the other things that the Yavama, even if he went through the process of Mamar, where he declared that he's going to consummate the relationship, is not treated on the same level as someone who is an arusa, someone who has gone through the betrothal process. Amarava, hachiktani, this is what it means to say. Iatamode, if you're going to agree. She'ein chayavim skila ben kinara and marasa. So someone who does adultery with a nara who is has gone through erusin is chayav misa through skila. However, someone who does a, who all they did was they did maimar with, for someone who they were connected through Yibam, and then someone comes along and has relations with that woman, even as a Nara, he is not Chayav Skila. It's still a Lav, but he's not Chayav Misa, and he's not Chayav Skila as a result. So if that's the case, we can prove out from this that Maimer for a Yavama is not on the same significant level as a regular Arusa. So Amar of Ashi, Masisa Naimi Daika. So the Mishnah is careful of this, and because it says, "Ein yavama gemura l'isha k'shem sharusa gemura l'isha," because it is explicitly says, or Rabbi Akiva explicitly says, a yavama is not completely connected to her husband the same way as an arusa is completely acquired by her husband. So an arusa, once a man goes through the erusin process, she's connected to him, and they need a divorce, and anyone who is involved with that woman gets skila. However, when it comes to a yavama, even if he does maimar, it's not on the same level of significance. Okay, moving on to the Mishnah, ha'omer le'ishto, and we had touched on this Mishnah previously. Ha'omer le'ishto, someone says to his wife, "Kol ha'nedarim sheni tidari mikan ad she'aved mikom ploni hareini kayamim." Any nedarim that you're going to make from when I leave, I'm planning to leave on a trip tomorrow. So any nedarim that I make from the time that I leave, say tomorrow, until I come back, are kayamim. I confirm those nedarim, right? So he's saying anything. So I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm going to be back in 2 weeks. Any nedarim that I confirm that you make between when I leave tomorrow and when I return in 2 weeks, I am confirming those nedarim. Lo amar klum. It doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm. However, if he says harei hen mufarin, but if he says any nedarim that you make between tomorrow and when I come back, I am revoking those nedarim. Then it's a machlokes. Rabbi Elazar Amar, he says, Mufar, they are revoked. V'chachamim Amrim, Eino Mufar. And he says, they are not revoked. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says to justify what he's saying, Im hefer nedarim shebolachal isar. If someone has the ability, this is a kal v'chomer, if someone has the ability to revoke a neder that already was something that was isar on the woman, so she made a neder that she is not going to eat apples, and a day later, and it happens on Monday, and on Tuesday the husband learns about it, and he is able to nullify a neder that's already in place where she's not allowed to eat apples. Lo yafar nedarim shel bolachal isar, should he also not be able to revoke nedarim that have not yet become prohibited? Right? Shouldn't he be able to revoke a neder that hasn't even become in place? Armelel Chaim said back to him, Harehu Omer. They say the way the pasuk is written, Ishayi Kimenov, Ishayi Ferena, that the husband has the ability to both confirm the neder and to revoke the neder. Im shebalachal hakeim, balachal hefer. So, but lo balachal hakeim, lo balachal hefer. It means that you have to be able to work both ways. So, if you're going to say, if the rule is that you're not allowed to to confirm the neder, then you're
Mm-hmm.
also not allowed to revoke the neder, right? So you have to be able to do it both ways, and therefore they're of the opinion that because no one disagrees that he's not able to confirm the neder. The disagreement is only about revoking the neder. So if you can't do confirmation, then you shouldn't be allowed to do revocation as well. So that's their perspective. So moving on to the Gemara is going to start with Rabbi Elazar, and again, Rabbi Elazar is the one who says that he is allowed to revoke the nedarim. Ibailahu, they asked Rabbi Elazar, Mechal chalan uvitalim, do they take effect? So, just a clarifying statement: do they take effect? In other words, does the man says, "I'm going on a trip tomorrow, and any nedarim that you make between now then and when I come back are revoked." So how does it work? The wife makes a neder the next day that she can't eat apples. Does that neder become effective for a nanosecond and then it becomes revoked? Or does it never ever become effective at all? So is it completely null and void from the start, or does it become effective for that nanosecond and then it becomes revoked? My nafkamina. So what's the difference? Like, what's the practical difference between the two? Going on the base. Kagon, the ispis achrina bahadri nidari. So this is a case where someone else links their vow. So, here the situation is the woman says, I am making a neder that I'm not going to have apples. And someone else says, me too. Just like you, I'm going to do it. So there's a linkage between the first neder and their neder. Iyamart chalin, if you're going to say that the wife's vows take effect for that split second and then they're revoked, have a tifusa. Then it's a valid linkage because he's linking, that second person is linking their neder to a neder that actually happened. But if you're going to say that that neder never ever took effect, it was basically canceled immediately, there wouldn't be any neder for the second person to say that their neder is an extension of. What's the halacha? So we're going to try to prove this out back from our Mishnah. Tashma, Amri im hefer nedarim, if he can revoke nedarim that have already become prohibited, lo yafer nedarim shelobar lechal isar, that he should not be able to invoke a neder that have not yet become usar. Shema mina lechal. We learn from this somehow from the language here that the nedarim don't become effective at all. So how does that work? So what is this really saying? So the question is about the language, right? So he's saying the way the wording is im hefer nedar lo yefer nedarim shelo ba'u l'chal isar. She's using the word shelo ba'u l'chal isar, that they did not come to become prohibited. So by virtue of saying that they did not come to being prohibited, it's implying that they never took effect, right? Lo ba'u is the wording that it's using. So the Gemara doesn't like this. Mika tani she'enam ba'in, does it really mean that they don't become? Can you really learn this? Shalo ba'u katani. It says shalo ba'u, that they have not become prohibited, meaning adayin lo ba'u, they have not yet become prohibited, but they eventually will. So it's saying that you can't learn from this language that they never become prohibited, because it says adayin lo ba'u. He didn't say, when he says shalo ba'u, it means adayin lo ba'u, it means it was about to and it didn't. Doesn't mean that it never was going to happen. It could mean that for that split second, it was going to happen. So, Tashma, we learned a proof from a different braisa. So, Amar lahen Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said to the Chachamim, and this is again to prove his view that you can revoke the wife's nedarim in advance this way. Umaba makam shein mefer nidri atzo mishanadar. In a case of someone's own nedarim, someone makes nedarim, he can't do his own hataras nedarim. So if you make a neder that you're not going to eat apples, the next day you can't say, you know what, I want to cancel my neder. If you wanna get your neder revoked, you have to go to do hataras nedarim. You have to go to a bezin, etc. Mefer nidri atzma ashli neder. However, you can revoke your future nedarim before before they take effect. This is essentially the basis of like what we do on Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre, where we declare ahead of time that any nedarim that we're going to make are null before they happen, right? So in theory, someone could say any nedarim that I make are not valid. They're not there. So you could proactively negate any nedarim that you make, but you cannot revoke any nedarim that you make yourself. Makam shemeifer nidre ishta mishadidar. Now, so again, here's another kal v'chomer. If the man has the ability to revoke a neder that the wife already made, right, and is existing, which he cannot do for himself, right? He can't do a neder that he does for himself. He can't revoke it himself, but he can proactively and ahead of time revoke nidarim that he will make. Shouldn't he be able to do the same thing by his wife? So in other words, if he has the power by his wife to revoke her nidarim that are in effect, which he cannot do for himself, shouldn't he also be able to proactively revoke her nidarim, which he can do for himself? My love, the ishto dumia delay. Shouldn't this work the same way, right? That he should be able to revoke his wife's nedarim ahead of time, like he does for himself. Ma delo chaylin, just as regard with him that he can revoke his wife's stuff. Af ishto nami delo chaylin. So too with his wife, it should be able to revoke, pre-revoke the vow and prevent it from happening at all, right? So again, because he has more power with his wife than he has it with himself, because he's able to revoke her nedarim once they're in effect. And we know he's able to proactively prevent his nedarim from taking effect. Shouldn't he be able to do the same thing with his wife? Gemara answers, "Lo, no. Had the kedisa kedisa." That when it comes to his vows is one set of rules, and when it comes to her vows is a second set of rules. So you can't learn anything from this. Tashma, we learned a different baraisa. Amalo Rabbi Lezer. They again asked Rabbi Lezer, "Umag mikva." So we're talking about a mikva. Shemalan is a tamei mitumasan. A mikva when someone is tamei, they can go to the mikvah and they could become tahor, right? However, ein matzah l'tahor milutame. But when someone goes to the mikvah, it does not create a force field that prevents them from becoming tamei in the future, right? It repairs the fact that they're tamei. It doesn't prevent them from becoming tamei again, right? Adam she'ein malas atmein mitumasan. Shouldn't we learn from this that a person who is not able to take someone else from being tamei to be from their tuma, enodin hushal yasal satar mulatame, isn't the rule here that he should be able to shield someone from tar from becoming tuma? So you need to know a little bit of background here, and the Ron explained this, but we'll talk about it outside. So if someone were to swallow a ring that was tahor and go into, let me take a step back. Someone swallows a ring that is tame, right? A person is tahar, he swallows a ring that's tame, and then he spits it up. He didn't purify the ring by virtue of him swallowing it. So unlike a mikvah, if you took that ring and put it in the mikvah, it would become tahar. If the guy swallows the ring and spits it up, it does not become tahar. So he does not have the ability to purify the tame ring. However, if a person were to swallow a tahar ring, right, and he goes into a tent where there is a tame mace, the question is, does he prevent that ring from becoming tahar or tame, right? By virtue of it being inside his body, is a tahar and a tame. So therefore, the law is that if someone does swallow a ring and it's inside of him and he goes into a place where there's tumah, where there's a body, the ring does not become tameh by virtue of it being in his body. So it's basically he's able to protect the ring. So again, this is like a kal v'chomer. If he were to swallow a tahor ring, right, a tameh ring, he's not able to purify the tameh ring, but he's able to protect the tahor ring from becoming tameh. Right, so the kal v'chomer is the kal v'chomer somehow that we learn from this is that when a husband revokes his wife's vows in advance, they somehow do not become in effect, right? Because by virtue of him swallowing this ring and going into a makom toma, he's essentially protecting the ring in advance from becoming tame. He's not able to correct the problem, but he's able to prevent the problem. So by the same notion, he's able to prevent the vows, even though he can't correct the vows, right, in this case. So going to the next top of the next stuff, Ayin Vav. Gemara doesn't love this. Ema Sefer, but what about the end of the Braisa? Armelo Rabbi Elezer. Imit Tablum Kli Tame Li Taher. According to what you're saying, it should follow that if we can take a Tame vessel in a mikvah to make a Tahar, Yatbilu Kli Kishtame Li Taher, you shall be able to put a Tahar vessel into the mikvah and prevent it in the future. Again, this is the whole concept of does it create this force field, which we know it does not, right? So the whole Kal Vachomer is, you know, there's two views, and it's a little complicated, but the Shema Minachal. And so the first view is, you know, to take the case of the ring, right? Person takes a Tame ring, they cannot make a Tahar by swallowing it, right? But if you take a dish and you put it in, that's Tame, and you put it in the mikvah, you're able to make it tar, right? But by the other way of looking at it is that if the person has a tahar ring inside of them, they're able to prevent it from becoming tameh because it's protected by their body. But when it comes to the mikvah, it does not become a force field to prevent that kli from becoming tameh in the future. So really, you can't learn anything from these two situations. So Amar, so what they said to them, Rabbanu lo kaimi lahon b'taimi d'Rabbi Lezer, you can't really learn anything from this Baraisa from what the Rabbanu were saying, because we're really not sure what the view of Rabbi Lezer is. V'achai karmelei, and this is what they said to him, my svari lach, what do you say what do you hold to say that a husband can revoke the wife's future vows? E svari lach d'chalim b'talon, if you're going to hold that they take effect immediately and they become revoked, t'havi kli t'yufcha. Then the argument against you is the case of the utensil, that when you immerse the utensil, it does not prevent it from becoming tameh in the future, right? So that goes against your notion of being able to preventing the nedarim from happening at all. And if you do not hold that they take effect and become revoked, but meaning that you're saying it prevents it from ever happening, so it doesn't even happen from a nanosecond, te mikva tiyuvcha, that you can challenge that by virtue of the case that we said of the mikva, which is that that in the case of the mikva, the person of swallowing it doesn't cause it to become pure, but by having it in their body when they are exposed to tumah, it does prevent it from happening. So bottom line, we'll pause here, and next time we'll talk about more about where this ends, but for now we'll pause and we'll pick up next week. Everyone should have a wonderful day.